Today's daf is Shkolim daf Yud Zayin, and we are about 30 lines from the bottom of daf Tez Zayin Omid Beis, Ketzad Hoyu Haluchos Ksufim. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalema, for Shlomo ben Sarah Liza, Ovadia ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, and Chaya Devora Basara Sprinza. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Yisrael ben Yechiel, and Le'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol L'chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're in the middle of the sixth perek of Mesechtes Shkolim, a lot of prakim, a lot of short prakim, and the Gemara is in the midst of an epic digression. The Mishnah had mentioned that there were certain things that were symbolized in the Beis HaMikdash with the number 13. 13 shofros, 13 shulchanos, and 13 hishtachavos. The Mishnah said that the family of Rabbi Gamliel and the family of Rabbi Chaninas Kanakehanim, they added an extra hishtachava, they added a 14th. And the 14th hishtachava was done kineged dir ha'etzim, in the direction of the dir ha'etzim. And the reason is because they had a mesorah from their zedes that Yoshio HaMelech, circa shortly before Churban Bayis Rishon, hid the aroin in the Dir HaEitzin. And because the Arim was there, it had a certain Kedusha, a certain significance. So these families, they would bow down, they would make an extra Hishtachava in the direction of the Dir HaEitzin. The Gemara began discussing whether in fact that's what happened to the Arim, meaning whether the Arim was hidden and whether it was hidden in the Dir HaEitzin. The Gemara brought three different shitas. Rabbi Eliezer said the Arim went to Golos together with all the other Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara brought the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish that held that the Aron was hidden, but in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Gemara brought the shita of the Chachamim, which is the shita of our Mishnah, that the Aron was hidden, and it was hidden in the Dir HaEitzim. Once the Gemara discussed the nature of the Aron, specifically the Machlokes Tanam, what happened to the Aron at the end of Bayis Rishon, the Gemara went from there and discussed another Machlokes Tanam as it relates to the Aron. Also a machloikis between the less mentioned Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish and the Chachamim. And that is when the Yidden were in the Mishkan during the times of Bayis Rishon, did they have one Aron or did they have two Aronis? Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish said they had two Aronis. The Chachamim said, no, there weren't two Aronis, there was only one. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish, if there were two Aronis, what was the purpose of the two Aronis? One was the Aron, the other had in it the Shivrei Luchos, and it was taken with the Yidden sometimes when they went. Whether it was at battle, they would travel together with the other Aron. The Gemara then went on to talk a little bit about the Aron, specifically the size of the Aron. Now the Mishnah, the Pasuk in Parshas Truma tells us how big the Aron was. Amasayim v'chetzi arkoi, ama v'chetzi mirachmoi, v'ama v'chetzi kaimos. Stating that, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, based on Machlokes Remain Rabbi Yehuda, whether the amos that the Pasuk refers to when it discusses the Aron, were these amis that were made up of 6 tvachim each, or were these amis that were made up of 5 tvachim each? The Gemara said it would chap a nafgemina whether the Aron was 6 tvachim or 5 tvachim per amma in terms of what exactly was in the Aron and how much space there was remaining after those items were put into the Aron. Now, one thing was certainly in the Aron, and that was the Luchos. So we mentioned the Aron, another machloik is about the Aron, another machloik is about the Aron, the Luchos were in the Aron, so let's talk a little bit about the Luchos. Says the Gemara, Ketzad Hoya Luchos Ksuvin, how exactly were the Luchos written? So we know the Luchos, loosely translated, tablets, but not one, two tablets. Says the Gemara, Reb Chanin ben Gamliel, Reb Chanin ben Gamliel said, Chamisha Luach Zeh, Chamisha Luach Zeh. So you had the Aseres HaDibrois that were written on the Luchos, 5 of the Dibrois were written on one of the Luchos, and the other 5 were written on the other one of the Luchos. That's Pshan in the Pasuk that says, Vayichteve Mashdei Luchos Avonim. They, meaning the Aseres HaDibris, were written on the two Luchos. The entire Aseres HaDibris on the two. And how on the two? They were divided equally. Chamisha Aluach Zeh, the Chamisha Aluach Zeh. Incidentally, based on words, they would not have been divided equally because the latter of the Aseres HaDibris, Loi Sirtzach, Loi Signov, Loi Sinov, are much smaller. In fact, the Velt says that it comes out then that the second of the two Luchos, the words must have been larger, because if the first 5 were written on one luach, and the second 5 were written on the other luach, And the first five are a lot wordier than are the second five, then you would think in Cheshbon, just to make it somewhat symmetrical, the first luchos were written in smaller oisias, and the second were written in bigger oisias. Now, what's the difference between the first five of the Aseres HaDibros and the second five of the Aseres HaDibros? The first five, the Ramban says, are ben Adam l'makoy. The second five are ben Adam l'chaveroy. So the Balei Musar say, you see from here, that when a person looked at the luchos, he saw the ben Adam l'chaveroy mamish in his face. They were huge, they were oisias gedoilis. As opposed to the men Adam Lamakim, they were actually Oisiois Kitanis. But the first sheet in the Braisa holds that you had five of the Aseres HaDibros on one Luch, the other five on the other Luchais, they were equal. Vayichtevein equally al Shnei Luchais. All ten were written on the one Luch, and all ten were written on the other Luch. Hado, Dechsiv, Vayagid, Lochem, Esbrisei, Ashatziva, Eschem, Lassois, Aseres HaDvarim, Vayichtevein al Shnei Luchais Avonim. And the way the Rabbanon Darshan the Pasik is that the Aseres HaDvarim were written on both of the luchais, meaning Aseres on one and Aseres on the other. Asar aluach zeh, v'alsar aluach zeh. Rav Shimon Yechayim, Rav Shimon Yechayim is the third shita. He said, Esrim aluach zeh, the Esrim aluach zeh. You had the Aseres HaDibros written twice on each one of the luchais. How do you know that? T'chsev ha'yichtevei ma'shnei luchais avonim. And we learn from there, Esrim aluach zeh, v'esrim aluach zeh. Now it's a little unclear what the makar is. But Pashit, the pshat seems to be that it says v'yichtevei ma'shnei luchais avonim in the Torah, not once, but it says it twice. And because it says it twice, the understanding was that the Vayichteve Malshtei Luchais Avonim, which the Chachamim said is a Makar that 10 were written on each one of the Luchais, if it says that twice, it means 20 were actually written on each one of the Luchais. And finally, Rav Simoy Amar, Rav Simoy is a fourth sheet. He said, Arbon Maluach Zev, Arbon Maluach Zev. You had 40 of the Aseres HaDibros, meaning each one was written four times on each one of the luchos. How do you know that? Because the pasuk says mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvin. Because Rav Tzimai held like Rishon Bayichai that you had 20 on each side, but he also darshan the pasuk that says mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvin, that they were written 20 on one side and 20 on the other side. Tetroiga, which is a Greek word that means four. But the point is, it was 40 on each side. And that is the fourth shita in the Gemara. So when you think of the luchais, you think of what you've seen in a shul over the years. You have the Aseres HaDibros. Five are written on one of the luchais, and the other five are written on the other one of the luchais. The pasuk says, "Vayichtevem al shnei luchais avonim." We know there were two luchais, but the cheshbon usually is the ten are divided into these two groups: five on one and five on the other. The truth is, that's only one opinion here in the Yerushalmi. In fact, it's the opinion of Rab Chanina ben Gamliel, the Rabban. On the majority of the Chachamim held that that's not the way the Luchais look, but rather it was 10 on one and 10 on the other. The Tano Helikim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he held 20 on one and 20 on the other. It literally said that Aseres HaDibros twice on each one of the Luchais. And there's even a fourth sheet to Rav Simoy who said it was Arboim Aluach Seh, V'Arboim Aluach Seh. More regarding the Luchais. Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Eimer, Chananya, who was the son of Rabbi Yeshua's brother, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana's nephew said, "Bein kol dibur v'dibur diktukeh v'oisiyoy seh shol Torah." Between all the diburim that were written on the luchos, you had there diktukeh v'oisiyoy seh. I mean, all the pratim and all the diktuke hadinim were written on the luchos as well. We're going to get back to this. How do you know that? Because the pasuk says mimulaim batarshish. A pasuk in Shir Hashirim, and what the pasuk means is kiyame rabba. So the word tarshish is a euphemism for the yam hagadol. What's the point? So the Gemara explains, when he would come to this pasuk, he would explain this drasha. He would say, "Yofa limdani Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua." Chananya, Rabbi Yeshua's nephew, said a beautiful pshat in this pasuk. What does it mean? It's referring to the Aseres HaDibros that are written on the luchos, and the pasuk means, "Mahayam azeh ben gal gadol legal." Godol galim ktanim, the yam, there are big waves, but in between the big waves, there are smaller waves. Kach bein kol dibur v'dibur, in between all the diburim of the luchais diktukeh, v'yoyse yoyseh shal Torah. Zok de Gemara. So we're returning back now to the previous discussion of the Gemara, and that was a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which the Gemara said was really a machloikis between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda, whether the Arayin, which was Amosayim v'chetzi Arkoi, Amma v'chetzi Rachmei, v'Amma v'chetzi Kormasai. Was it made up of Amis that were six Tvachim each? Or was it made up of Amis that were five Tvachim each? L'mayin afgimino, Amosayim v'chetzi Arkoi. If they're made up of six Amis, it comes out that if it's made up of Amis that are six Tvachim, it comes out that the length of the Arin was 15 Tvachim. If It means 5 tfachim per amah. That would mean the length was 12 and a half tfachim. And the Gemara went through on the top of the Amid different ramifications in terms of what exactly was placed inside the Arin and how much room there was, depending on whether the Amah is bas shisha tfachim or whether the Amah is bas chamisha tfachim. The most notable nafkamina that the Gemara mentioned on the top of the Amid was that if you hold like Rav Meir, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that the Amah was bas shisha tfachim, it comes out that after the luchos were placed, there were 3 extra tfachim. That's a lot of space. What did they do with that space? They put a Sefer Torah there. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayelech that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, ba'achras hayomim, at the end of his life, wrote a Sefer Torah. Vayichtov Moshe as a Torah azois, vayitno alakoyhanim b'nei Levi hanoisim as aroim b'r Sashem, ve'alkol zikne Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Torah. He gave it over to the Levim, and this was a Torah that would be used for generations to make sure that nothing would ever be forgotten. A Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, there's no issues with chaseiros and yeseiros, yeshem l'mikri, yeshem l'mesiris. This was the perfect Sefer Torah, and it was something that the Levim, who are responsible, Yoyrim, Mishpatech, Yaakov, Yisrael, Chali Yisrael, in addition to the Avodah that they did in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a responsibility to make sure that the Yidden knew all the mitzvahs that they're supposed to know. And this was a Sefer Torah that they held on to because this was their way of making sure that the Mesorah was going to remain intact. So the Gemara said that with those extra tfachim, it was used to put this Sefer Torah in. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rish Lakish, that the Arun was smaller because the Amasayim v'chetzi and the Amah v'chetzi and the Amah v'chetzi were made up of 5 tfachim, not 6 tfachim. It comes out there was no room for the Sefer Torah. So a very significant nafkamina. This Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that the Torah mentions in Parashat Vayechi, where was it? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Aliba de Rav Meir, it was placed in the Arun. The Arun had the original luchos. It had the Shivrei Luchos of the Luchos Rishonos. It also had inside of it the Sefer Torah. If, however, you hold that it was Amah Bas Chamish Tfachim Reish Lakish, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, comes out the Sefer Torah wasn't there. So the Gemara is just going to talk about this for a few lines. Amar Rav Tanchuma, Iskashias Kumira Pinchas. The following question was posed to Rav Pinchas. Asyik Rav Yehuda, V'loi Asyik Rav Meir. The following pasuk would seem to shtim according to Rav Yehuda, not according to Rav Meir. My time with the Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said that the Sefer Torah wasn't inside the Arun. Tichsev l'koyach ha-sefa ha-toyra hazeh, v'samtem oysoy mitzad aroim bris Hashem. Meaning, it sounds like it was on the side of the on the Sefer Torah. Abaita de Rabbi Yehuda, du amar heichan hoya Sefer Torah nasum, kemin gluskiya asu lemi bachutz, voya Sefer Torah nasum besoichem. Meaning, the pasuk sounds like it works a little bit better according to Rabbi Yehuda than according to Rabbi Meir, because it sounds like where was the Sefer Torah? It was v'samtem oysoy mitzad aroim bris. Doesn't sound like it was inside the Arun. Rather, it sounds like it was to the side of the Arun. So this pasuk stims a little bit better according to Rabbi Yehuda rather than according to Rabbi Meir. Zok t'gemar, my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the makar to Rabbi Meir who holds that the Sefer Torah was actually put inside the Arun? In fact, this pasuk sounds a little bit like it wasn't in the Arun, but v'samtem oysoy mitzad aroim bris Hashem. It sounds like it was to the side of the Arun. So Rabbi Meir probably had a makar. Where did he learn it from? The pasuk says, the kapiris was the covering of the Arun, so it was put on top. And then the pasuk says, you should put the edus, not sure what that means, inside the Arun. Now, Ramey was bothered. He says, I don't understand. The luchos were presumably the edus that the pasuk is referring to. That's what was inside the Arun. So you make the Arun, you put the luchos in, then you put the kapiris on top of it, and then afterwards, velo orin titen es edos asher etin elecha. Put the luchos after the kapiris. The luchos should have been there before the kapiris. Must be when the pasuk says velo orin titen es edos doesn't mean the luchos. Rather, it's referring to something else, something similar to the luchos, something else that's edos. It's referring to the Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah is edos in a sense. How is it edos? In the sense that this was used to make sure that we were always going to have a proper Sefer Torah. The point is, Rav Meir held that from the fact that the Torah says, put the kapiris on, and then afterwards put an edos, must be this was something that was placed after the kapiris. Now, this Sefer Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayelech. This was Samuch L'Misasai. If it was Samuch L'Misasai, so this was put in 40 years later, 39 years later, so it stems very nicely. After the Kapiris was there, there was an idea of Elo Arun Titan Esa Edis Acha Etin Elecha. So, Gemara, Daite de Rabbi Yehuda. How does this work according to Rabbi Yehuda? You have to say, Du Amar. He's going to say, Ein Muktim Meaning, Enochinami, the way the pasuk is written, it's out of order. Put the kapoiras, then after the kapoiras, put the edus. Must be really, it's supposed to be in the reverse. And afterwards, so we had mentioned not so long ago from the Chafetz Chaim, who says in Shmiras HaLashon, that why is it that you find in Muktam Mu'ucha Batayra? So he says, because the Torah is so halig, that if you would read the Torah, if everything would be in order, it would be too much. So therefore, things had to be placed out of order. Stating that, there always has to be a reason. There has to be a cheshbon in each individual example of an Ein Muktam Mu'ucha Batayra, why the Torah would do it. So tzarech bir. But either way, this is like in a pasuk. Put the kapoiras on it, then afterwards put the edus. What do you mean? First you put the edus, and then you put on the kapoiras. So to invoke a muktam mu'ucha batayra, but the Gemara says that's what Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to say. One final note on this topic: Rabbi Pinchas b'shem b'shem ben Lakish. He said a Torah should not say Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Torah was given by Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Nitna loy eish levana. It was given as white fire, charusa be'eish chayra, written on black fire. He eish muvlelas be'eish. It was fire that mixed with fire. Chatsuva me'eish. It was taken from eish. Unesuna me'eish. Hadol dechsev mimino. Eish das lama zok the Mishnah vayta. So the Mishnah had mentioned 13 shofros, 13 shochanos, and 13 hishtachavoyos. And then the Mishnah immediately said that the family Rabbi Gamliel, the family of Chinas, they had a 14th hishtachava. And then we talked about the 14th hishtachava without even discussing what these 13 hishtachavoyos were. So just one piece of introduction, and that is, there's no halacha that says that when a yid came to the Beis HaMikdash, he had to bow down 13 times. What the Mishnah is saying is that there were certain places in the Beis HaMikdash that if you passed them, you had an obligation to do a Hishtachava. So if you never passed them, there was no need to do a Hishtachava. So these Yud Gimel Hishtachavos, or 14 Hishtachavos, these are just mekoymos that if a yid passed, he had an obligation to stop, to take in exactly where he was, this holy presence, and he had to do a hishtachava. So it says the Mishnah, Eichon hoyu hishtachavoyos ha'elu. What were these 13 places that were so chashuv that these 13 places required hishtachava? So the Gemara says, Arba b'tzaf, and four of these places were on the northern part of the Azara. V'arba b'dar, and four were on the southern part of the Azara. Sholish b'mizrach, ushtayim b'mayrif. And what was the significance? Keneged shloisha asa sha'arim. It was connected to 13 gates, the 13 entranceways into the Azara. So there were 13 she'arim entering into the Azara. We'll see in the Gemara, there's other shittas, but that's the Tana of our Mishnah, his opinion, and that there were 13 she'arim entering the Azara, and connected all of the 13 she'arim, if you passed any one of them, there was an obligation to do a shtachava. Says the Gemara, "Droy miim smuchan l'mayriv." The Gemara is going to walk through all 13 of them. So starting on the Darim side, closer to the west. So with Droy mis marav, the Shara Elyon. The first one was the Shara Elyon, which was simply called Shara Elyon because it was the one that was on the highest point of the Har HaBayis from all the Sha'arim, Shar HaDelek. The second one was called the Shar HaDelek. That was the Shar that they would bring wood into. So this Shar HaDelek was close to the Dir HaEitzim that the Mishnah talked about, that according to the Chachamim, it was the place that the Aron was hidden. So the Shar HaDelek, Delek Miloshen Hadlaka, Miloshen Fire, that's where it was brought into. Shar HaBechayres, if a Kohen had a Bechayr, he was bringing it as a carbon, he would bring it through the Shar HaBechayres, Shar HaMayim. Why was the Shar HaMayim called Shar HaMayim? Because on Sukkot, when they brought the Nisach HaMayim, they would bring the water, the jug of water, through the Shar HaMayim. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, he said a different reason. Because it's underneath that Shar that a stream of water is going to emerge and flow through, as Yecheskel depicted in great detail in his Nevuas, as the Gemara is going to talk about for almost the entirety of the first part of the daf. Lu'umasan, Bitznafin. On the northern side, there were also four. Smuchim b'mayrif. Again, starting from the Mayrif side. Shar Yechanyo, Shar HaKarban. That was the Shar that all the Karbanos were brought. Kemat. Shar HaNoshim. That's where women would enter through. Shar HaShir. That's where they would bring the Kli Shir, the ones that the Levim would use. Lomdik Shmai Shar Yechanyo. Why was Shar Yechanyo called Shar Yechanyo? Shabayatze Yechanyo Begalus. Because when Yechanyo was taken into Galus by Nebuchadnezzar, he took him through that Shar. Sheb Mizrach. On the Mizrach side, there was Sharim as well. Shar Niknar. There was Shar Niknar. That was the main entrance. So from all the Sha'arim that we had, the main entrance was Shar Niknar. Shnei Pishpish and Hayulai. Machlik is what exactly this means. But what Pshat means is that inside the big Shar, there were two smaller Sha'arim. They were like doors within the doors. Echem Yiminai, Echem Asad. One to the right, one to the left. Ushnayim the Ma'irif. Then there were another two by Ma'irif. Falo Yehoyulam Shem. And they did not have any name. Either way, four on Dorim, four on Tzofin, one in Mizrach, two in Ma'ariv. These were the 13 Sha'arim. And when a person passed any one of these Sha'ari or Azara, there was an obligation of the Shtachava. And those are the Yud Gimel Shtachavais that the Mishnah was referring to. Masnisim, Zokta Gemara, Abi Yoisa ben Yoichanani. The Tana, the Mishnah, is clearly Abba Yosef ben Yoichan, the Omar who holds Keneged Shloisha Asa Sha'arim, that the 13 Ishtachavois correspond to 13 Sha'arim. Bram, to Rabbanon, however, as it relates to the Rabbanon Shita, Shiva Sha'arim Hayabazar. There weren't 13 Sha'arim, there were only 7. And if that's the case, the Yud Gimel Ishtachavois can't have anything to do with the Sha'arim, because there are only 7 Sha'arim. It doesn't add up. So the Gemara says, Al Daitoin de Rabbanon Heichan Hayu Ishtachavois Halalos. According to Rabbanon, what's the significance of these 13? Yahid Tanin Tama, it's based on a Mishnah Mesachtes Midos. Shloisha Esrei Protzois Hayu Boy. And the Mishnah is referring to, when it says boy, to the Soyrig. The Soyrig was one of the Mechitzois. It was like a fence that surrounded the Azara. The significance of that fence was Ad Kan, an Eni Yehudi was allowed to go to. Beyond that point, only Yidden were allowed to go. So there were certain Mechitzois, of course, on the Harabayas. Up until here, a Tamei is allowed to go. Up until here, a non-Jew is allowed to go. Up until here, only Kohanim, etc., etc. But the significance of the Soyreik was, up until that point, the Akum were allowed to walk, but beyond that, not. Okay, what happened? Sheparts of Malchei Yavin. In the times of Chanukah, the Malchei Yavin came, and they made tears in this fence. They made breaches in this fence. And the reason they did is because they weren't happy about this idea that there's a Havdalah bein Yisrael la'amin. V'chazru v'gazru b'nei Chashmenam. The Chashmenam came and they repaired these fences. V'gazru kinegdam shloisha esrei shtachavois. And they made a gzera that if a person comes to any one of these pirtzois, so you have to bow down. So the Yud Gimel shtachavois are not related to the Yud Gimel Shari Azara, because to the contrary, according to most Chachamim, Shiva Sharm Hayu Bazara. Not Yud Gimel. Rather, it's related to the shloisha Esrei Pirtzois that were in the Soyrek, the Gazru Kinegdom. If a person was in the vicinity of one of these Pirtzois, there was a Shtachavah, which means the Yud Gimel Shtachavois have a Chanukah theme, the Inkam Mekoyma, Zok de Gemara. So we mention as one of the Yud Gimel Sha'arim, the Shar Hamayim. And the Mishnah asks, Loma Nikra Shmoy Shar Hamayim. So the Mishnah mentioned 13 Sha'arim, and two of them piqued the curiosity of the Tana of the Mishnah. Why was the Shar HaMayim called the Shar HaMayim? And why was Shar Yechonyo called Shar Yechonyo? And Mishnah said, why was Shar HaMayim called Shar HaMayim? Sheboi Mechniz and Tzleichah HaMayim. The first pshat was, it's related to the special carbon, the Nisach HaMayim that was brought on Sukkot. But then the Mishnah said another pshat, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who's Mishnosoi Kavanoki. He said, I'll tell you a different reason. It's because Boi HaMayim Mefachim Vasidim Lias Yoitzim Itachas Miftan Abayis. Because in the end of days, there's going to be a stream of water that's going to emerge from the Beis HaMikdash, specifically from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's going to exit the Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to exit through that Shar. And because it's going to exit through that Shar, Al Shem HaOsid, was known as the Shar HaMayim. Now, how do we know that there's going to be a stream that's going to emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim? These are psukim in Zechariah, these are psukim in Yechezkel, and the Gemara now is going to go through several of these psukim. Zok de Gemara. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Vayi b'yemahu, it's going to be b'yoyemahu, in the end of days. Yetzu mayim chayim mi Yerushalayim. Mayim chayim is going to emerge from Yerushalayim. Tani, mi beis Kodesh Kedoshim ad paroiches. This mayim chayim is going to start off from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when it starts off, it's going to be very, very narrow. It's going to literally be like a leak. In fact, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is going to be the source of this Mayim Chaim, up until the Paroiches, it's going to be Kikarni Sila Vichila. It's going to be like the horns, like the antennas of these little animals, little snails. Min Paroiches HaMizbeach HaZov, from the Paroiches, as it makes its way to the Mizbeach HaZov, which was in the Heichal, it's going to intensify, but only a little bit. It's going to be Kikarni Chagofen. It's going to be like the horns of grasshoppers. Min Mizbeach HaZov Ado Azoris. From Mizbeach HaZov to the Azor, it's going to get a little thicker. It's going to be Kechut Shal Shasi. Of Shasi the Erev fame. Min Ho'azoris had Miftan Abayis, it's going to be a little bit wider, it's going to be Kechut Shal Erev, Mikan Ve'elach, and then after that it's going to be Kimi Pi HaPach. It's going to be as wide as the opening of a Pach. The Gemara is going to continue. See, there's another Pasuk that talks about this water, and this is a Pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem Zayim. Hine Mayim Mefachim and Hakosif Ayamonis. But say so Ish Kodim, Vekov Biyod, Vayomet Elof Ba'amo, Vayavireni Ba'mayim, May of Soyim. Says the Gemara, what does this mean? What was Yecheskel saying? Again, Yecheskel's talking about the nature of this mystical water that's going to exist in the end of days. He said, Art Karsula. What's going to happen is that if you would measure, Vayomad Elef Ba'am, if you would measure 1,000 Amis, so at the 1,000 Amma point, the water is going to get deeper and deeper. Till now, we're talking about how thick the water is. It's going to get deeper and deeper. It's going to get to the person's ankles. Vayomed Aleph, if you measure another 1,000 amas, vayavarini b'mayim berkayim, it's going to be ad berkayim. It's going to get up until your knees. Vayomed Aleph, vayavarini b'mayim, it's going to get up until your waist. Ad nasnayim, mikan ve'eloch. After that, meaning once you're ready, 3,000 amas in, vayomed Aleph, nachal ashaloi uchalava. Eventually, this nachal is going to be so intense that it's going to be to the point, ashaloi uchalava. This was, again, Yecheskel had this nevuah where he sees this all playing out, but it's all a muscle to what's actually going to happen in the end of days. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? It's going to be so intense, this water, that even a big ship isn't going to be able to cross it. My time, and what's the reason? Meaning, how do you know that it's going to be so? Yecheskel said that I saw the Navu and I couldn't cross it. How do you know it's going to be so big that afilu bironim Gedoyle in Yechayla Lavra boy. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, Vitzi Adir lo yavrenu. Vitzi Adir, that's referring to something very big and impressive. Adir Bamorim Hashem. Even that lo yavrenu. But Neyma, what's the reason? Kigo Hamayim Meisachu. My Meisachu Miloshet. It's going to be because the water is going to be Meisachu, which means Milosh, you won't be able to swim across it. Nothing is going to be able to go over. Amr Rabchuna. Rabchuna said, Ba'asrim Karu L'Shayata Sachvon. Supporting this idea that Meisachu means Loshet. He said, in our city, Rav Chuna said, we call, instead of saying the word shayata, which usually means to swim or to cross a body of water, we say sachvana. That's meisachu, no one's going to be able to cross it. Uferas yadav bikirboy, kasha yifares ha-soicha lischos, which seems to be another source to this idea, that meisachu means to swim. Uferas yadav bikirboy, he's going to stretch out his hand, kasha yifares ha-soicha lischos, like the swimmer stretches out his hands when he's swimming. Again, sachu means lashot. My meisachu, why is this water referred to as Meisach? Amr Rav Yosef Rebbun. So Rav Yosef Rebbun said, Mayin de mismalolin ba'oma. Because this is going to be water that the whole world is going to talk about. Why will everyone talk about it? So we'll see more about that shortly. But more about this water. The Pasuk says, Bayema huyeh makar niftach lebeis David liyesh v'shalayim lechatez olonid. Again, referring to this water, it's going to be a makar. It's going to be a source of water for Beis David and for the Yoshve Yerushalayim lechatez Ulanida. Now, lechatas ulanida in this pasuk means lechatas, you'll be able to use the water for mayim chayim al keli, for mixing together with the ashes of the Parah Aduma to be metar somebody from Tumas Meis. Lanida means a nida will be able to be metar. So, Pashim, what the pasuk sounds like it's saying is the Beis David and the Yoshvi Yerushalayim will be able to use these waters for the mechatas and for the nida. But the Gemara dashes it as follows: Shum Bar Nachman b'Shem Rabbi Yoinis and the Beis David by Yoshvi Yerushalayim. That if you go from David HaMelech's bias, which is outside Yerushalayim, up until Yerushalayim, that area, all that water is going to be kasher on the nida ulechatas. It's going to be kasher for a nida, it'll be a kasher mikvah. It's also going to be kasher for a chatas. It's going to be mayim chayim. Kam ve'elach. Once you pass that point, may taruvesim. The water is already going to be mixed with other waters. It won't be mayim chayim anymore, so it won't qualify as water for the paraduma. So it's going to be kasher on the nida, be kasher for a nida. So the mechatas won't be good for mechatas. Amr Rabbi Elazar, me based off of Yerushalayim, a little different. Kasher on nida ulechatas. From the base of Yerushalayim, will be kasher on nida ulechatas. Kam ve'elach. This is where the difference. May katof. It's going to be water that's called ketafris. This is a hilchus mikvois term, which means psul lenido lechatas is going to be possible for nido and for chatas. Again, more about these waters. Ksiv the pasuk says vayemre lahamayim ilu yoytzim el hagilila hakadmoina. What does this mean? The water is going to go to the galila hakadmoina ze yam shel samchu. It's referring to the yam of samchu. Apparently, this was a well-known river. Fi yardu alo arava ze yam shel tver. The water is going to flow all the way into the Yam of Tveria, also known as the Kinneret. Ubo hayama ze Yam HaMelach. It's going to go all the way down north to the Yam HaMelach. El hayama hamutsoim ze Yam HaGadol. It's going to go to the Mediterranean. So, with a very basic, amateurish understanding of the geography of Eretz Yisrael, you can get the sense it's literally going to all the different corners of the land. It's going to literally flow into all the major rivers. So we said that the Yam HaGadol is referred to as Hayama HaMutsoim in this pasuk. Why is it called Mutsoim? Can I get Shtei Pamim Shiyatza? It corresponds to the two times that this water overflowed. Echad the Dar Enosh, one time in the Dar of Enosh, and the other time during the Dar of Flak. So there were two times that this water overflowed. Were two times that the Mediterranean Sea overflowed, or some say maybe it's referring to the Atlantic Ocean, but there were two times that this ocean overflowed. One was in the time of the Dar HaFlaga, the other was in the Dar of Enosh. Now, just to stop for 1 second, the Dar HaFlaga we're familiar with, the Dar HaMabul and the Dar HaFlaga. The Ramabo, their destiny is very well documented. The Dara Flugger, not as much, but we know this was a Dara that thought that we can build a tower and let's go be Loichin, Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nimroid Beroisham. So this was the Dara Flugger. And Hashem punished the Dara Flugger. How exactly did he punish them? So it seems there was this major overflowing of the sea, and that's what caused them to die. But what exactly is the Dar Enosh? What did Dar Enosh do? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, when he introduces the concept of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, "Bimei Enosh Tov Bnei Adam Tos Gedoyva." In the times of Enosh, Bnei Adam made a very big toys. The Enosh Atzmoy Menatam, and Enosh himself was one of the ones that made a mistake. The first, literally, chapter 1, verse 1, in the Rambam, Hilchas Avodah Zarah, he starts off talking about the Bimei Enosh, and he tells the history of Avodah Zarah. Like, how did Avodah Zarah even happen? Hashem creates the world. Adam and Chava, a yetzir kapav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then before you know it, the whole world is a bunch of pagans and they're worshipping all these false deities. How did it even happen? Right, Poshit, what's the events that played out for the world to go from Adam Arishin Kaidem Achet to Avoy Dazar? So that's what the Rambam talks about in the beginning of Hilchas Avoy Dazar. And he says the Dar that really started all the trouble was Dar Enosh. But it's interesting because Rashi in two places talks about the Dar Enosh. One place he talks about it in the end of Parshas Bereishis. Right before the Dar HaMabul. So Rashi quotes a Chazal that says that the Dar HaMabul was so bad that Afal Pisha Ro Ba'avdam Shal Dar Enosh, even they saw the Dar Enosh get wiped out. Sha'olo Kindness Ve'Hetzev Shlish Oila. A little information. A third of the world's population was destroyed. The Dar HaMabul chose not to listen. So Rashi tucked away in the end of Parashas Bereishis tells us a little bit of the story of the Dar Enosh. Another place that Rashi talks about is in Parashas Hazino, a well-known pasuk. Zechar Yemois Olam Binu Shnois Dar V'Dar Shalavicha V'Yageitcha Remember what happened in the early days, where there were dayrois that made a Kadosh Baruch Hu angry. What did Hashem do? Binu dachnois dar vedar dar enosh shehetzef aleh meu kindness vedar hamabul sheshat. In fact, Rashi doesn't even mention the dar of flog. What were the two dayrois? What's the binu shnois dar vedar? It's the dar of enosh, and it's the dar of the mabul. So this is a forgotten generation. The dar enosh. Even in an infamous way, it's been forgotten. So we talk about the Dar HaMabul, we talk about the Dar HaFlog, that there was another Dar, and the Pasuk says, Binu Shnois Dar V'Dar, Medaf Uplan in the Dar Fin Enosh. It's not just a little footnote in history. The Torah is Mitzvah. Maybe today, Raisa, Binu Shnois Dar V'Dar. We have an obligation to understand the Dar Enosh. We've never even heard of it. And here we have a mitzvah of Binu with his bininess. We have to meditate on it. Something that we really have to try to understand. So maybe for another day. Zokti Gemara, Rab La'azar, also known as Rab La'azar. B'shem Reb Chanina said, Barishayna Yotza Ad Calabria. No, in the times of the Dar Enosh, when the water overflowed, it went up until Calabria. U'bashnia, the second time, which was during the Dar HaFloga, Yotza Ad Kefe Barbar. That's where it went to. At Kefi Barbaria. The first time in the times of Dar Enosh, it went up until Kefi Barbaria. But the second time, Yotza at Akiv ad Yafi. It went until Akiv and until Yafi. Ad Poi Tavoi Veloy Soisif. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Ad Poi Tavoi Veloy Soisif. Ad Akiv Tavoi Veloy Soisif. Not past. Ufoy Yoshis begoin galecha, ad yofoy Yoshis going galecha. So based on these psukim, that's how we know up until where the water went. So, the Gemara. Nicha yama rabba v'yama demilcha. So we mentioned that in the end of days, these waters are going to go to four seas. They're going to go to the Yama Melech, to the Mediterranean Sea. They're also going to go to the Kinneret and to the Yam Shel Samchu. So the Gemara says like this. I understand why the water is going to end up in the Mediterranean. I understand why it's going to go into the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelech. Why Bishvul HaMatkan? To sweeten the waters, the salty waters, to make it zis. B'yam HaDetfer, B'yam HaSamchu. What's the point? Why do they have to go? Those waters aren't so bitter. Like, what's the purpose of it? So the Gemara says, the Rabbi is the Gossa. The purpose is going to be like this. Fish are going to start proliferating. The Pasuk says, Lemina. That's what the Pasuk says there in Yecheskel. The point is, there's going to be a lot of different types of fish. On the topic of a lot of fish, Tony, I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. I once went to the place of Tzaydin. They brought me a fish platter. This was a serious platter. They had more than 300 different types of herring. The Pasuk says that the water is going to be Venirpu. And then it says, "Bitzoisav ugvav V'lo yerafu l'melech nitano. So it's not clear what the pasuk means, but one thing is clear, there seems to be a contradiction. Ksiv, it says, v'nirpu amoyim, v'at amrit, and then it says, v'lo yerafu, so the Gemara, makoim hu, u'shmoy v'lo yerafu. Now, v'nirpu amoyim, all the waters are going to be healed. There's going to be a place who's called, maybe not coincidentally, v'lo yerafu, that's going to remain unhealed, and there, l'melech nitano, the reason is there should be a source of salt, because otherwise there'd be no salt. We need the sea for the salt. So there has to be at least one body of water that's going to remain v'loyei rafu. The pasuk says, "Val hanachal yala al svasei mizeh umizeh kolei tzmach layibal aleihu v'layitim piryoi lichadoshav yivaker." So one of the things that the pasuk mentions is that in the end of days, lichadoshav yivaker, the crops are going to mature lichadosh. What does it mean? Tana Amar Rabbi Yehuda, this alavish v'ayil mazet for isal l'shish chadosh. Tfu usually takes 6 months to mature. V'ilan oisal shem asachaydish and fruit takes 12 months. Avalos and lavoi, tatfuah oisel chodesh. A tatfuah is going to mature in 1 month. Ve'ilan oisel l'shnei chadashim, and the fruit is going to be 2 months. So the ratio is going to be the same, a 1-to-2 ratio. 6 months to a year. That's the way it is now. Then it's going to be 1 month to 2 months. My timer lechadashav yevaker. That's where we learn it from. Lechadashav, referring to the peiros, is going to be 2 months. Chadashav miyut rabim shnayim, which means then if usually the crops take half the amount of time that the payers take, so that's going to take 1 month. I'm Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi had a different shot. No, the fish of Eilim Mazat for Yisrael Shish Chadashim, Filan Yisrael Lishnei Masach Chodesh. Today it's 6 months and a year. That's the ratio. But the Avodah Asa Lavi Atfu Yisrael Chamish Asa Yoyim. The Tfu is going to take 15 days. Filan Yisrael Chodesh Echon 1 month. She came and seen Rosh Asa Atfu Bimei Yoyel Chamish Asa Yoyim. V'karam Bimeno Emek. Because we find in the times of Yoyel there was a very big hunger. What happened in times of Yoyel? There was a lot of Arba. Rashi brings in a Parshas Boy that even though the pasuk says there'll never be Arba Ay in Yoyel's times, different mean him, but in the times of Yoel, there was a big hunger, there were no crops, and it was very, very bad. And Hashem made a miracle. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, literally, it started raining, and all the whole rainy season, mamish, all the rainy season they usually play out over the whole winter happened during that month, and they had so much tefuah, they were able to bring the carbon oimer bismana. Which means if it all happened starting a Chodesh Azel Lechem Roish Chodashim, it mamish happened during those 15 days of Rava Derava, if that's when all this played out, so that then means that it's possible, it's Megluch, theoretically, it's happened once in history, that in 15 days this should happen. So Rabbi Yossi said it's Mestaber, if there's a miracle that's going to happen in the end of days, why shouldn't it be Gara from what happened in the times of Yoel? So you see, the crops could develop in 15 days. Use the same 2-to-1 ratio, which would then imply that the fruit is going to take 30 days. My time, that's the Torah Shabbat Ksav, what we just spoke out, happened in the times of Yosef. What does Rabbi Yosef do with the pasuk that says, L'chadashim yevaker, it sounds 1 month, 2 months, not 15 days in a month. L'chadashim doesn't mean 2 months. L'chadashim means every month. That every month is going to be a bikur again. Every 15 days of the first 15 days in a month, you're going to have the new crops, and then 15 days later, you're going to have all the new fruits. And finally, the pasuk says, "V'oleo l'trufa." This is one of the psukim, one of the adjectives that are used to describe the peiros of la'as and la'avi. "V'oleo," literally, the leaves are even going to be l'trufa. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yechon said, "Tarpe matzitz ale utraf mezoin." It means you're going to be able to eat the leaves. You'll be able to suck on the leaves, and food's going to come out. Rav Shmuel Chad Omar once said, "Lehater pesha lamayel." What it means is that if someone can't speak, he's an ilam, rachman al islam. If he eats from these fruit, va'aleh l'trufa, he's going to be able to talk. V'chadam lehater pesha lamayel. Someone that can't go to the bathroom. Rav Chanin, Rav Shua ben Levi, chadam once said lehater pe akaros, that all the akaros, all the women that couldn't have children are going to be able to have children. It means to be mata the pe'omen. This is the reason all the nations are going to be talking about the fruit, because you see all the miracles that are going to be happening, the crops are going to be happening so much quicker, like in the times of Yoyol, and it's going to be valel, the trufa. So it's because of all these miracles. Regardless, this concludes this segment of this very long daf, which talks about the little stream of water that's going to emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which eventually is going to intensify, and it's going to become something so big that even big ships aren't going to be able to cross in it. They're going to have therapeutic qualities. It's going to perform miracles. It's going to sweeten up all the seas. It's literally going to go to all the Dalit Kanfis or Aretz, Dvarim, Neflaim, Nevuas, that obviously are all Mishalim for mystical things that are going to happen in the end of days. But for now, the Gemara goes back to the second part of the Mishnah, and that was the second one of the Sha'arim that the Mishnah describes. So the Mishnah mentioned the 13 Sha'ar. It mentioned two of them in detail. One of them is the Shar HaMayim, two pshatim why it was called the Shar HaMayim, and then we mentioned the Shar Yehoyachin. So what was the Shar Yehoyachin, or the Shar Yechanya? Sheba Yatza Yechanya Begalusa. So we saw a little bit of Yechanya in yesterday's daf. Yechanya was one of Yoshio HaMelech's sons. He became the king of Klal Yisrael, one of the Malchei based David. Yechanya was the king when Nebuchadnezzar came and laid siege on Eretz Yisrael. There were a few different kings, Yoyakim, Yechanya, Tzidkiyo, but Yechanya was very significant in that when Nebuchadnezzar came, in the time of Yechanya, he took Nechanya with him to Bavel. And he didn't just take with him Yechanya, he took the Cheresh and the Masker. He took all the prodigies, like all the Chashev people that were there at that time, Nebuchadnezzar took. And the reason Nebuchadnezzar took them was because he wanted, at that point, not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but he wanted to kidnap the young, bright talent of the Jewish people. And he thought if he brings them to Babel, it'll be good for his economy, good for his agenda, whatever exactly that might be. So Nebuchadnezzar comes to Eretz Yisrael, he takes Yechanya with him, and he takes all the young superstars. In fact, that's pshat in the pasuk that we say in the Megillah, Asher Hogla miYerushalayim, referring to Mordechai, Im HaGoyla Asher Hoglasa, Im Yechanya Melech Yehuda Asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar Melech. What was the significance? The significance was that Mordechai was from those prodigies. He was one of the chevra that were taken together with Yechanya. So the Gemara says like this: At Moitzei, you find Shachal Nebuchadnezzar Lakan. When Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, Bava Yashav Lebedayif Nishal Antuchio. He came and he settled by Antuchio. Yotzei Sanhedrin Gedol Lekrasa. The Sanhedrin went out to greet Nebuchadnezzar politically. Va'amroloi, and they told him, Higias Manabayis Hazeli Charev. Tell me, you came to destroy the Beis Hamikdash? Amalem, no. It's not why I came. Rather, Oisei Shem Lachti Aleichem. The king that I appointed, Yehoyachin, Yechanya, he was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, truly give him to me. They came to Yehoyachin and they said, Nebuchadnezzar, boilach, Nebuchadnezzar wants it. When he heard this, this is a Gemara that's right out of a Kamtza, Bar Kamtza type sugya. So he took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash. Olo l'gagah shel heichal, he walked up to the roof of the heichal, amal afanav, and he turns to Hashem, and he says, Rabbeinu shel olam, l'sha'avar hayinu nemanim lach. Once upon a time, you trusted us. And as a result, we had the keys to the temple. We literally had the keys to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yum maftach hayisecha mesurim lanu. We had your kings, but achshav she'enonu nemanim. Obviously, you don't trust us anymore, because Nebuchadnezzar is coming, he's taking me, he's going to take Mordechai, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and we're about to go into Golus. Obviously, we're not Nemanim. If we're not Nemanim, I don't want the keys anymore. Harei maftechoy sechem esurim lach, I'm giving back the keys to you. So the Gemara says, there was a machlokes amaram, what happened after that? Trein amayra, Chad Amar once said, Zarkon, Yechanya took the keys, he threw them up to Shemayim, v'oid lo yardo, and they never came back down. The Chad Amar once says, no, bakim inyan, a miracle happened. A hand came down from Shemayim, unot l'san miyadoi, and took it from Kibin Jero, kol chayri Yehuda Kain. When all the cheshuvin of Eretz Yisrael saw what happened, they saw this miracle, they didn't have the keys anymore. They understood Yechanya was right. The Eibush didn't trust them, they weren't Nemanim. Olu l'reish gag saying, they went on top of their roofs, the naflu, and they jumped off, umesu, and they died. They were ma'abed atzma l'das. How were they able to do that? Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his famous Shuvan, Sheilas Yaivitz that we've spoken about in the past. Hado d'chsiv, that's Pshan in the Pasuk, that says, maso geichi zoyon, maloch eifmai ki olis kulach l'gagois, Chuis Malay Ir Haimiya. This is what it's referring to. Incidentally, there's a similar Gemara, not the same story, but a similar story in Talmud Bavli, in Mesachtes Tainas Tav Choftes Ayin Shom. Either way, there's so much to talk about, but we're going to have to go weiter. Zok the Mishnah, Shloisha Asa Shulchan Yisai Bamikdash. So we mentioned the 13 Ishtach Havoyos. There were also 13 tables. So what was the purpose of these 13 tables? Number one, Shmoyna Shoshayis, 8 of them were made out of marble, the base of Mitbachayim. And they were in the base of Mitbachayim, in the mitvach, in the kitchen, so to speak, where all the meats were being prepared. Shnalei Medichan Sakurayim, that's where they used to clean the insides of the karbonis. Shnayim and Meirav HaKevesh, two of them were to the Meirav of the ramp. Echot Shoshayish, of those two, one was made up of marble. Echot Shoshayish was made out of silver. Al Shoshayish, Noshan Zayvar. The one that was made of marble, they would put the Eivarm, they would put the limbs on. Al Shoshayish, the one that was made of silver, Klishores, they would put the Kli Shareis on, Shnayim Be'ulam. There were another two inside the Ulam. That was the little hallway, the Prozdar, that went from the Azara into the Heichal. You didn't go from the Azara straight into the Heichal. Rather, you had to go through the Ulam. So there were two Shulchanis in the Ulam. Bibefneim al Pesach HaBayis, both in the inside part of the Ulam. Echon Shal Shayish, again, was made of marble. Echon Shal Zav, the other was made of gold. Al Shal Shayish, one that was made of marble. Noisim Lechem HaPanim B'chnisaseh. That's where they would put the Lechem HaPanim when they entered. For Al Shal Zav, the one that was gold, B'yitziyaseh, they would put it on the way out. Shemayim L'Bekodesh V'loy Merid. The reason you had to put the lechem aponim on gold on the way out is because it's an idea of ma'ilam kodesh. And the lechem aponim, we'll talk more about this in the Gemara, when it was in the heichal, was on a shulchan shalzav. And being that it was on a shulchan shalzav, so you couldn't lower it now and put it on marble. Gold is more chashiv than marble. As a result, that once it was on its way out, it had to remain on gold. Echon shalzav mi befnim, and if there was another shulchan, as in the shulchan with the hey idea, that of course was made of gold. Shal of lechem aponim talmid, that's what the lechem aponim was. That's the shulchan that we're familiar with. So there were 13 shulchanas. One thing we saw in the Mishnah is of the 13 shulchanos, some were made of marble, some were made of gold and silver. Now the truth is, the Beis HaMikdash was a place of Ashirus, Zov, Kesef, and Achoshes, and ideally we'd have made it all of silver and gold. So why are we even making it of marble? If it's inferior, what's the point? And the reason is because if you put raw meat on silver, on gold, it's outside in the Azara, it's very hot outside, so it's going to cause the meat to spoil. And we don't want the meat to spoil. So it was purposely put on marble because that would preserve the meat a little bit longer. Stating that, there were times you could use gold and silver. For example, the shulchan in the heichal, that had to be of gold. Once you put the lechem aponim on that shulchan, ma'ilu b'kodesh ve'merid, and invite that had to be on gold. The kalim will put, the kli shareis, that's not spoiling. These are kalim that are also made up of copper and silver of gold. So they will also put on shulchanas of gold. So ideally, you would always make it of something more chashen. However, there were times where it simply wasn't going to be able to work out. Zokti gemara tani, as it relates to the lechem aponim. So again, the Mishnah mentioned the lechem aponim and the shulchan, and that's going to be the topic of the remainder of the daf. Let's just refresh a little bit. One of the kelim that was in the Beis HaMikdash was the Shulchan. What was on the Shulchan? Yud Beis Chalis. There were 12 Chalis, 6 on one side, 6 on the other side. The Chalis had to be there tamid. Stating that, you didn't have the same Chalis always there. But there was a changing of the guard. When did they change it? Every week. Which day of the week? It was on Shabbos. So every Shabbos, they would remove the old breads, and then they would eat the new breads. What did they do once they removed the old breads? They would eat it. There was shnei bezichei levoina. The shnei bezichei levoina had to be burnt on the mizbeach. They were matter the lechem aponim b'achila, just like dam was matter bas b'achila. And that's what would happen. So the lechem aponim were brought from outside, meaning from the azara into the heichal. Those were the lechem aponim that were going to be put on the shulchan. And then you had the lechem aponim that went from the heichal back out to the azara. That was the lechem aponim that already spent a week on the shulchan. That was the lechem aponim that was going to be eaten. And between the azara and the heichal, you have an ulam. In the ulam, there's two shulchanos. And the kohanim would put the breads down on the shulchan. One of the shulchanim was shayish, and the other one was made of zav. On the way in, it was put on shayish. When it was on the way out, it was put on gold. Why? Really, it would have always been put on shayish. But Ma'ilu B'Kodesh, Fei Meriden, and the shulchan in the heichal was made of gold, of course. And as a result, once it's on gold, you're not taking it off gold. You're not going to be able to put it on marble. Says the Gemara, as it relates to the other shulchan, not the one that was marble, the one that was gold, Tani, we learned in a Braisna, Al Shal Kesef. Wasn't really gold, it was really silver. Rabbi Yosi, Mishim, Rabbi Shumba, Rabbi Yitzchav, Rabbi Chananya, Mati, Babish, Made, Rabbi Yochanan, Les Kan Shal Kesef, Neshvat, no. Our Tana holds that it wasn't gold. It wasn't silver, rather it was gold. And the reason it wasn't silver, nature matiach. Because as much as gold may cause the meat to spoil, apparently silver is even worse. We learned. This is a question. Right? It's hard to know sometimes in Yerushalmi. It's a question. I don't understand. Why do we have to do things to make sure that the bread wasn't going to spoil? It's a pasuk that says that the bread never went bad. In fact, it was always hot. It was mamish, like right out of the oven. A week later, you take it off the shulchan and you have piping hot bread. So obviously nothing's happening to it. It's all happening al derech nes. So why do we have to finagle and make sure we have the right type of shulchan? L'chur, it shouldn't be necessary. So the Gemara says, Reb Shua ben Levi Yomer, Ein maskirin nice and nisan. This is a topic that, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to talk about in Masechtas Yuma, in the beginning of Masechtas Yuma. But Ein maskirin nice and nisan. Can't talk about miracles. Maifsin? Nah, you can't rely on Simon. And being that ain't Soimchen al Anes, so therefore, even though it's true, there were miracles that happened, but it's not something that we're able to rely on. The following question was posed to Rabbi Ila. The lechem upon him had to be on the Shulchan Tamid. It was also eaten every week. So what happens when it was removed? Oh, you just replaced it with another one, right? It was done very quickly. So you always replaced it with another one. What happens if there wasn't another one? So what do you do now? Do you leave this lechem upon him there more than a week until you have more breads? Or no, you have to take the breads off. So ideally, you take the breads off and you put the new breads on. But what if it's EF Shalakayim Shneim? So you have to pick and choose between these two options. Which option should you choose? And the truth is, just to add a knach to the question, there's something called psolina, which means that if you have a carbon or a chelik of a carbon that you're supposed to do something with, basi you're supposed to eat, a murim that you're supposed to burn, dam that you're supposed to do zriko on, a koimetz that you're supposed to put on the mizbeach, shiari amincha that you're supposed to eat, bezichei levoina that you're supposed to be makdiv. If you don't do it within the allotted time, it becomes psol. Lina. So it could be not removing the lechem upon him, not removing the bezichei levoina, you may run into lina problems. So this is all part of the question. He told him, it's a pasuk. Lechem ponim afilu pasul. Even if it's pasul, this is what you're supposed to do. So we mentioned the shulchan that was in the Mishkan, that had on it the yud beis chalas and had the lechem upon him. We also mentioned that there were two other shulchanos that were accessories to the shulchan. They were in the ulam, one on the way in, one on the way out, one shayish, one zav, maybe kasef. Says the Gemara, on that note, Asaru Shulchanos Asur Shloima. Shloima Melech made 10 Shulchanos in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chziv, it's a passing in Divrei HaYamim. Vayash Shulchanos Asaru. Shloima Melech made 10 Shulchanos, Vayanach Beheichov, and he placed them in the Heichov. Chamisha Miyamim V'chamisha Mitzvah. Five to the right and five to the left. So what does it mean five to the right, five to the left? So come in, Teimu Chamisha B'Dorm V'chamisha B'Tzaf. Doesn't mean five on the Dorm side of the Heichov, five on the Tzafen side of the Heichov. V'aloi in Shulchan Kasher El B'Tzafen. The Shulchan had to be in Tzafen. Shenemar V'ashulchan Titan El Tzelat Tzafen. So, can't be five to the north, five to the south, because all the shulchanos were on Tzafen. So what does it mean? Elo chamisha miyamin shulchanos al Moshe, the chamisha mismal, five to the right of the shulchan of Moshe, and five to the left of the shulchan of Moshe. Afal pike. Now, even though you had all these shulchanos, lehoya mesader elo ben Moshe levan. The only one that was actually used for the Yud Beis Chalas was the one of Moshe. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayash Shloim es kol hakelim asher beis Hashem v'chulu ve'esar shulchan asher olav lechem aponim." I thought he made 10 shulchanos. Had shulchan had lechem aponim, only one had. Stating that, not everybody agrees. Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Yehuda Omer al kulan hoye mesader. No, there was Yud Beis Chalas on all of these shulchanos. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Asar shulchanos va'aleim." Lechem haponim, ashulchanois, va'aleihem, plural, lechem haponim, which would seem to suggest that all of the shulchanois had the lechem haponim exhale. So just to speak out one ha'ara, as it relates to the last part of the daf, which is going to segue into tomorrow's daf, and that is, the Gemara just quoted a pasuk, which if you think about for a second is fascinating. We're all familiar with the shulchan, the heichal, the ayil moed, there was a menorah, there was a mizbeach that was inside, mizbeach hachitzin that was outside. You had the shulchan. Then there was the kodesh hakodashim, which had the aron, the kapiris, the kruvim were on top. You had the kiyar. The pasuk says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, vayas shulchanos asara, he made 10 shulchanos, vayanach beheichel, and he put them all in the heichel. Chamisha miyamin, chamisha mizbal. Meaning, he had the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he made 10 more. Five were to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan, and five were to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan. Now, we didn't get into this in today's daf. We'll see more about this tomorrow. But not only did Shlomo HaMelech make 10 Shulchanos, but he also made 10 Menoros. And five were placed to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah, and five were placed to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah. Again, the Gemara is going to continue into tomorrow's daf. So the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech looked different than the Mishkan. But it looked different in a very, very significant way. Another piece of history that's sometimes forgotten. And that is, if you would have had the schuss to peek into the heichal of Shlomo HaMelech, you wouldn't have seen a menorah. You would have seen 11 menorahs. You wouldn't have seen a shulchan. You would have seen 11 shulchanos. And it's machlokes in the Gemara what they did with these shulchanos. And really, by extension, what they did with the menorahs. According to one man, the Omar, no, there were Yud Beis Chalas on one of the shulchanos. And they lit only one of the menorahs. The other kelim were just there. They were kelim. But there was no avodah that was known with them. But Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said not that way. He said, no, al kulan hoya misadah. The lechem upon it was placed on all of these shulchanas. And from the same perspective, the neirais, all of them, were lit every single night. And again, this is something that we talk about all the time, and that is that Mishkan, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, Shetibana b'meir b'yameinu, amen v'amen, were not the same. They were all mekoymos of Ashroyas Hashchina. And they were all kiyumim of the pasuk that says, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicha. So certainly on some level, there's a lot of similarities. But at the same time, they were not the same. They were not created equally. And v'loy roi zeh k'roi zeh. Hatzad ha'shov ha'shobahen, yeah, a makam of Ashroyas Hashchina. But at the end of the day, they weren't the same. And as it relates to our sugya, the first Beis HaMikdash was unique in that there wasn't one menorah, there were 11. There wasn't one shulchan, there were 11. The Mishkan had one, Bayis Sheni had one, and Bayis Shlishi is going to have one. But what was unique, l'chayra, was Bayis Rishon, in that there were 11 menorahs, and there were 11 shulchanas. And there's two obvious questions that you have to ask. The first question is, had Shlomo HaMelech have a right to do this? How do you have a right to do it? The second kasha is, why? Why would he have done it? So number one, how did he do it? And number two, why did he do it? The Chasam Sofer, in two tshuvas, the two famous tshuvas, two maybe of the most famous tshuvas. The first one is in Erech Chaim Simen Reish Ches that was written to Reb Tzvi Hersh Chayes. The second one was in Yerideya Simen Reish Lam Evav that was written to Reb Kiva Eger. The first one in Erech Chaim Simen Reish Ches, that's where Reb Tzvi Hersh Chayes sent the Chasam Sofer one of his Sfarim, and the Chasam Sofer wrote back Ha'oriz on the Sefer, and it spans many, many topics, all Dvarim Ma'im De Beruma Shalom. It's probably the most often quoted tshuva in Gantz Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. It's the last tshuva in Erech Chaim. This one that's in Yerideya was written to Reb Kiva Eger, and it was written about bringing Karbonis Bezman Hazeh. It was written about Reb Tzvi Hersh Kalisher, Sefer Drisha, seeing about that whole pulmus. And in both of those tshuvas, the Chasam Sofer asked this kasha. He said, how did Shlomo HaMelech have a right to go and to build menorahs and to go ahead and make all these additional shulchanas? And he says, don't tell me that it was done alpi nevuah, right? That's the short, easy answer. What do you mean it was done alpi nevuah? Of course, that's the answer. But the Chasam Sofer said, I have a major issue with that. You know what my major issue with that is? Because at the end of the day, it's very nice it was done alpi nevuah. But what gives a Navi a right to go ahead and say such a nevuah? We know the principle. Ein Navi rashoy l'chadish davar. A Navi has no places. He doesn't have the credentials to be mechadish something. A Navi can come and he can say, days are coming where hishlachti rav ba'aretz le'rav alech le'tzom alamay. A Navi can come and he can say, eicha yashva badad, unless he didn't go ahead and do tshuva. But a Navi doesn't have a right to tweak any mitzvah in the Torah. And he says, the Beis HaMikdash and how the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be built, a psukim in the Torah. It's in Parshas Truma, va'asuli mikdash. And then the pasuk says, "K'chol asher ani mara oischa istabnis amishkon ve'istabnis kol kelo." This is the way it's supposed to do. V'chein tasu. So, Frank, the Chasam Sofer, you'll tell me it was alpi nevuah. You'll tell me Shlomo HaMelech received the blueprint of how the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be from his father David HaMelech. It's gevalah. They came from David HaMelech, but at the same time, David, in the best case, is a navi. The ain navi rashoy l'chadish. This is the kasha Chasam Sofer asked in Erech Chaim Reish Ches and in Yerideya Shin Lamidvav. And the Chasam Sofer says that I think the teretz is in the pasuk. The pasuk says va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. And then the pasuk says k'chol asher ani mara oischa. Everything that I'm going to show you is tavnes hamishkan, the is tavnes kol kelov, the chen tasu. What does it mean, v'chein tasu? So Rashi says, v'chein tasu means l'dairis. This is the way you should do it, l'dairis. So Pasha, you learn that what the Pasuk is saying is, v'chein tasu l'dairis means the way Hashem told Moshe to do it in Parshas Truma, Tetzavik, Yisisa, V'yakob, Pekudei, that's the way you're supposed to do it, l'dairis. But said the Chasam Sofer, it could be that's not the way you're supposed to read the Pasuk. But you're not supposed to read the Pasuk. This is a Pasuk that was written l'dairis. K'chol Hashem arani mari oischa. Whenever I'm going to show you l'dairis, there's going to be a Navi that's going to come, and he's going to say, I had a Nevuah. And the Nevuah was not one menorah, 11 menorahs. Not one shulchan, but rather 11 shulchanas. K'chol Hashem arani mari oischa. Everything that I'm going to show you in all the future generations, any mara Nevuah, a stavnes HaMishkan, as it relates to the size of the Mishkan. Ve'istadnes kol kelam, and as it relates to the nature of the kelam, ve'chein tasu. That's what you should do, L'dayris. Not k'chol asher ne'mayra oischa now, but they must have understood David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and Chagai HaNavi, who oversaw Bayis Sheni and Yecheskel and Bayis Shlishi. They must have darshan the pasuk said, the Hilgach Samsoif, k'chol asher ne'mayra oischa is a pasuk that's saying, listen to the Nevi'im. That even though really ein Navi Rashoi l'chadish davar, over here there's a pasuk, k'chol asher ne'mayra oischa v'chein tasu l'dayris, that this is dafki the way that it's supposed to be. So it's not a pinavuah. So the nevuah was not to have one shulchan, 11 shulchanas. Not to have one menorah, but rather to have 11 menorahs. But the question is why? The question is why? What's wrong with having one menorah? What's wrong with having one shulchan? So Rameir Simcha, in a classic Meshach Achman, this is in the beginning of Parshas Tetzava, says, a dover nifla adlamoid. Since I'm going to tell you pshat. He says, the pshat is, what was the purpose of the menorah? The purpose of the menorah was to light up the heichal. Right? That was the purpose. The purpose was to light up the heichal. So says Rameir Simcha, when the Mishkan was built, Moshe, Bezalel, when the Mishkan was originally built, what was the size of the Mishkan? So says Ramei Simcha, it was 30 amos long, it was 10 amos wide, and it was 10 amos tall. It was 30 by 10 by 10. 30 amos long, 10 amos wide, 10 amos tall. 30 times 10 times 10 is 3,000. It was 3,000 square amos. The Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech was much bigger than that. The Pasuk says it was 60 amos long, it was 20 amos wide, and it was 30 amos tall. So it wasn't 30 by 10 by 10. It was 60 by 20 by 30. 60 by 20 by 30 is 36,000. Which means, says Rameh Simcha, based on square footage, the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech was exactly 12 times the size of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan. So he says the purpose of the menorah was to light up the Heichal. If the purpose was to light up the Heichal, so do the math. If one menorah lit up the Mishkan, which was 3,000 square amos. So how many menorahs would you then need to light up the first Beis HaMikdash? So Shlomo HaMelech made a cheshbon, back of the envelope arithmetic. It's 12 times the size. So really you would need 12 menorahs. Now how many menorahs did he build? Not 12. He made 11 menorahs. Says Ramei Simcha L'Chari shouldn't have made 12. So he says the teretz has to be, because there had to be an even number, because everything had to be symmetrical, because there was one that was going to be in the middle. Memela, when he was building, or he was making, erecting, there had to be 5 to one side and 5 to the other side. So really there were two choices. Either he could have made 11, or he could have made 13. Says Ramei Simcha, he felt better 11 than 13, ayin shom. But says Ramei Simcha, that was the cheshbon. You want to know why there were more menorahs? It was partially there was more square footage. They needed more electricity, kavi yochel. They pashin needed more lighting. That was the reason. And the menorah was the source of light. And the menorah was the source of light. So that's why instead of having only one, they ended up having a... So why do you have all the shulchanas? Says Rami Simcha, that's pashin. Because throughout all the sugyas and shas, and even in the psukim in the Torah, the shulchan and the menorah always had to be zem mul zem. One was darim, one was safin, haroitza lahachkim, haroitza lahashir. But they always had to be mechuvin to each other. So once you had 11 menorahs, he had no choice. He had to have 11 shulchanas. They didn't really need 11 shulchanas. What they needed was 11 menorahs. But as part of the Tavnis HaMishkan, it had to be symmetrical to the sides. Plus, it had to be Zelu Mazeh. They decided to go down one versus up one. And that was the cheshbon of why you ended up having 11. But then Rameh Simcha, in that same shtickle, says something classic. He says that the truth is like this. The truth is, Chazal in different places struggle very, very mightily. There was a menorah, what, to light up the Beis HaMikdash? Make a cheshbon. Who was in the heichal? Nobody. At night? Nobody's in the heichal, really. The kohen, or the kohen gadol, would light the menorah, and then he would leave. There was nobody that was coming in. It was a makam of Ashrei Sashchina. Chazal asked in many places, v'chi lo'ira hutzarech, right? The Eibishter really needs light? What? Hashem is oirei shalayla. So really, on some level, the hadlok of the menorah is a parsha stuma. It's not so easy to understand. And again, the reason is because v'chilo oira utzarech, like Chazal say many times. But Rameir Simcha says, that was true. There's no question. But in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, that actually wasn't true. Since you know why? There's an Eben Ezra in the beginning of Parshas Baloischa. That's one of the places where the Torah talks about the menorah. Parshas Baloischa begins Baloischa es Aneris. It starts with the parsha of the menorah. It ends, Loi kein avdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. So Eben Ezra asks an interesting question. He says, what's the smichos, what's the connection between the beginning of Parshas Baloischa and the end of Parshas Baloischa? What's the chsima me'ena psicha? What's the connection between the Hadron and between the Me'emosai? Two different parshas, right? You start off talking about Baloischa Samanoira, And then afterwards, we end the parasha talking about Nevuas Moshe. So Rav Meir Simcha says, so the Ibn Ezra says something amazing. He says, the connection is, Lahirais, to teach us, Ki hadibur yeh gamba laylo, ki shom yeh haner dolik v'lo yichbe. Nevuas Moshe had to be during the day. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the madrigas of Moshe, couldn't have Nevuah at night. Nevuas Moshe had to be dafka during the day. But in the Heichal, where there was a menorah, over there Moshe Rabbeinu was able to attain his Nevuah even at night. So it says Rav Meir Simcha comes out, you're right, very sasim. Why we would have needed the Oira of the menorah? But for Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a very good cheshbon. For Moshe Rabbeinu, we needed the Oira of the menorah. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had a big tayalis from it. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's tayalis? Now he's able to get Nevuah. Ordinarily, he can't get Nevuah at night. Now all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get it at night. Agav, Rav Meir Simcha says that maybe this Ebn Ezra is a makar to the sma. Talach is the Bezdin can't convene at night. But the Sma says, B'makim Neiroiz Dolkois, they're allowed to convene even at night. Says the Meshech Chachma, how did the Sma know that? This is Ebn Ezra. That you see sometimes B'makim HaMenoira, maybe you can have a din of Yoim. Nevuas Moshe is only by Yoim, not by Laila, but B'makim HaMenoira, it can even be by. So says Rav Meir Simcha, I want to teach a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'ata titzaves m'nei Yisrael, V'ikwe lecha shemen zayizach, kosas lamor, lahalois ner tomen. You should take shemen zayis. What's the purpose of the shemen zayis? It's going to be lahalis ner tamen. Says the Meshech Chachma, va'ato titzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha. For you, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is going to be a tremendous tayeles in the menorah. You know what the tayeles is? You'll get nevuah at night. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get nevuah at night, but now Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, I once heard a kasha that in Pesach Sheni, what happened? So vayhi anoshim atmeil nefesh. This is our. So by Pesach Sheni, the Tmei Lenefesh came to Moshe and they said, Lama Nigara, right? Some Oiske Shlepta Mitzvah, like the Chdush Arim said. They said, Lama Nigara, why should we be any worse? So one Moshe Rabbeinu was like, Imdu Vashma, stop, hold the thought, Mayitzav Hashem Eschem. What does Rashi say? Ashri Ludisha, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he could communicate with the Shechina. So I heard a Kashma, it's not true. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he could communicate with the Shechina. Zishtemis. Nevuas Moshe was only during the day. There was no Nevuas Moshe Balayla, Chazal say that. So what do you mean? Ashri Eludisha, Shekol's, it's not true. It's not whenever he wants. Terry says, no, it was. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to go to the oil Moyed, even at night, when there was a menorah, like Ibn Ezra says, and over there, he was able to get the Nevuah. So it's Ashri Eludisha, whenever he wanted. Maybe not wherever he wanted in that place. Maybe he would have to go to the oil Moyed. But says Rav Simcha, V'atat Tetzavis B'nei Yisrael, V'ikwe Lech, V'yu Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be a tremendous Toyeles. But Ba'oil Moyed, Michutz La'Paroiches, Asher Alo Eidos, Yaruch Oysa Yahar Nuvanov, Ne'erev Ad-Boyke L'fnei Hashem, Chukas Oilom, for you, Moshe, it's for Yikwe Lecha, there's a Tayeles. Oh, but L'day Roysam, it's going to be Chukas Oilom. L'day Roysam, the parasha of the menorah is going to be a chayk. It's going to be a mitzvah that we don't fully understand. Because let's be honest, V'chila Oira Utsarech, the Chazal gave us eitzes. So we can understand it a little bit. But at the end of the day, the menorah really is mechusar havana. It goes into the category of chukas olam. But it's only the dairis and Rameh Simcha it's going to be chukas olam. But as it relates to you, Moshe, no, v'yikoy lecha. For you, we understand it. For you, there's a tremendous tayelis. It's negei and nevuas Moshe. But as it relates to the Roysam, it's going to be Chukas Olam. Regardless, we've been talking a little bit about the Aron. We've been referencing a raid bite that we didn't do yet. But we've been talking a little bit about the idea that the Aron didn't exist during Bayis Sheni. And the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, here's a fascinating difference. Bayis Rishon didn't have one menorah, had 11 menorahs. Didn't have one shulchan, had 11 shulchanas. Two questions. How and why? How? Meaning, even if it was done al pinavua, but what happened to Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish? Chsam Soifin Erechaim Reish Ches Teretzvi Erschayis, Chsam Soifin Yerudea Reish Lamedvav, to his gracious Shver Rab Kiva Eger, said maybe the posnik that says that Kichol Asher Ani Mara Oischo V'chein Tassu L'Doiris is a tzivoy that Kichol Asher Ani Mara Oischo, that any Navi that's going to have a Navu on future generations V'chein Tassu L'Doiris, that's the way you should go ahead and you should do it. In terms of why? Because the purpose of the menorah was to light up the Heichel. That was the Tachlis. If that's the case, if one menorah for the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, which was 12 times the size, needed 12 times the amount of light, and it's for that reason Shlomo HaMelech built 11, once there were 11 menorahs, there were 11 shulchanas, because the shulchan and the menorah always had to be Zelu Masa.